Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
I have so many people to thank for being here, but I really have to thank Facebook. When I first heard about the campaign to get me to host Saturday Night Live, I didn't know what Facebook was. And now that I do know what it is, I have to say, it sounds like a huge waste of time. I would never say that people on it are losers, but that's only because I'm polite. People say, but Betty, Facebook is a great way to connect with old friends. Well, at my age, if I want to connect with old friends, I need a Ouija board. Needless to say, we didn't have Facebook when I was growing up. We had phone book, but you wouldn't waste an afternoon on it. Facebook just sounds like a drag. In my day, seeing pictures of people's vacations was considered a punishment. And when we were kids, we didn't say we were single. We were just kids. It was weird if you weren't single. Yes, we had poking, but it wasn't something you did on a computer. It was something you did on a hayride. Under a blanket. Oh, sorry.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by EcoLawn, the ultimate low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Podcasts of this program, along with green tips, valuable links, and DeMaio weather, are a click away at MikeNovak.net. That's MikeNovak.net. Now here's the man who's redefining green, which means that he's busy working on the Wikipedia entry, Mike Novak.
Okay, we got to start today with copping to something I forgot yesterday. Now, I'm hoping that a lot of you listened to the big broadcast yesterday at the Third Unitarian Church in the Austin neighborhood. We did Growing in Austin, which was just really excellent. It was really a lot of fun. And thank you to the people who came out. Thank you to the people who listened. But I'm driving in today and listening to Our Town with Mike Sanders and Julia Hsu. And, of course, Mike Sanders says, Mike Novak didn't thank me yesterday for running the board.
And he's now out in front of the window tooting his horn.
I know. He just wants to hear his name on the radio.
Yeah. He told me he got on the radio because he's not a humble man.
I'm not a humble man.
No, you're not
at all. You'll do anything.
Technically, your show was perfect yesterday. I just wanted to throw that out there for you.
It was. And you know, the engineering, the cracked engineering staff
Let's not talk about my personal habits. Let's just talk about the work that I do.
I wasn't going to tell.
Okay, good. Well, thank you, sir.
So,
it was a lot
Mike
of fun.
Mike Sanders, I couldn't have done it without you. And, you know, I have no idea how I got on the air. I have no idea how I got off the air without Mike Sanders. Now, listen, we're going to be broadcasting this Saturday in a special edition of the Mike Novak Show, again from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You going to be here?
I think I'm going to be here.
Are you going to be the technical help I need?
You know, with this kind of thank you and this kind of support, you're darn right. I'm going to be there, man.
And a sawbuck would help?
I don't know what that is.
Oh.
It's $5.
Oh, I don't get paid
here. I thought
here.
It was 20.
Is it 20? I thought it was 5.
Is that what that is?
I don't know. It's
I thought it was on a volunteer basis.
It's green.
Basis.
It's got a president on it. You'll want it.
That's right.
Well, thank you, guys. I'll take all of it.
Because, you know, he's all about the green.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
I am about green.
Mm-hmm. Every time
I know,
he loses
I know
his wallet.
Sanders is, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every time you lose your wallet, it's me. All right, you guys. Have fun. Thanks.
So, thank you, Mike Sanders, for yesterday. Mike McCarthy was out there. Mark Ernest, thank you, guys. And, of course, all the folks at the Third Unitarian Church in Austin. That was really, really cool. So if you go to my website, you can see a couple of pictures from that. MikeNovak.net, MikeNovak.net. You know, I got to grab the NovAK.net.
NovAK, you're going to grab that
domain
one too?
Domain as well, yeah.
Because it's NovAK.
Yeah.
.net.
Certain people on my staff have been reminding me that I don't spell it enough on the air. Not like anybody would. Oh, and by the way, I'm looking. If you look at this week's show on Mike Novak, MikeNovak.net, you're gonna see like a 140-year-old picture of Rick Moskowitz. Okay, a couple of things. From A Plus Pest Control, Kathleen, you're gonna have to get up. You're not lying in bed listening because I got. First of all, it's M O S K O V I T Z, so you got to change the C to the K, and because he's here wandering around an hour and a half early before he's going to be on the show, but he's cleaning up drain
he's
flies.
He's putting his money where his mouth is.
That's
he's
right.
He's using non-toxic.
We had drain flies.
We
here
had a horrible infestation
of drain and. And we mean horrible.
Thousands upon thousands.
I have
and
never
thousands
seen anything like it in my life.
It was
life
horrifying.
Yeah, and it came out of the women's room. It tells you something about the women around here.
Hmm.
Well, it didn't come out of the men's room.
They were coming out of the men's room.
Yeah, but it started in the women's room, as we know.
Because we're so sweet.
I have no idea, but I have never seen so many drain flies in my life.
Yeah, it was really creepy.
Like,
I'm okay
and Rick,
with
they
insects
were drain flies,
to a degree.
Right? Yeah, and Rick is nodding. They were drain flies because somebody from a different pest control company,
a more popular one with more caustic chemicals.
That's right. Who we tried first.
I mean chemicals.
Yep. Decide, don't go away, Rick.
Yeah.
You got an hour and a half till you're on here. Tried to tell us that it was fungus gnats coming out of the one plant we have alive in the building.
That you gave me.
That
it's
I gave
like,
you.
It came
like, no
from the healthiest source imaginable.
No, it did not.
No.
I knew those were not fungus gnats.
No, they
I
weren't.
I looked at that and said, no, that's
well,
not a fungus
gnat. Well, the
other
thing was if they were coming from the plant, they would the concentration of them would have been by the window, by the
well,
plant.
Well, the plant's a four-inch pot, and we had a gazillion of these fruit flies. They would have consumed the plant.
Yes.
It was not even possible.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Kathleen, the other thing you got to do is I sent you an email because one of the things I forgot to put on the website, too, there's just too much going on. I'm going to be speaking this Wednesday at East West Perspectives at East West University, in the Loop. It's in the auditorium at 816 South Michigan Avenue. On the fourth floor there. And we got to get that up online. It's at 6:30. We got light refreshments. And at 7 o'clock, I do my talk. It's a talk I did at Loyola the other week for their Earth Day ceremony. Loops closing in the night. You've heard of ships passing in the night? We got loops closing in the night. You'll see what that's like. So if you're interested in hearing me ramble on about recycling and our environment and other things like that. Wednesday, May 19th, 7 p.m. at East West University, 816 South Michigan Avenue. All right, we got lots of stuff on the show, way too much. So we should get right to it and go to line one. And my buddy Ken Haller, how you doing, Ken?
Mike, I'm doing great, and I am free of fungus gnats.
Well, it wasn't fungus gnats; it was drain flies.
I know, but I'm free of fungus gnats.
Oh, did you have a fungus gnat problem?
No, not that I can speak of.
So you just made it up on the spot there. Okay, great.
Great to Ken, be with you, Mike. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Ken has been on the show many, many times here and back when I was at Gargantua Radio down the dial. And he is a former president of the Illinois State Beekeepers Association. And it's interesting that we start the program talking about insects. Of course, the insect on your mind and a lot of people's minds is the honeybee. You know all about that and what's going on. And I was reading an article, and every so often an article will pop up about colony collapse disorder, which has been plaguing honeybee keepers in the United States and around the world for... I've read some place recently that they think it started around 1996. Is that what you understand, too?
You know, it is. You know, the name colony collapse disorder has been the recent name given to the condition, or now it's known as a syndrome, over the last primarily 3 years. Prior to that, it's been around for a long, long time. At least the symptoms have been around for a long time. And just over the last 3 years, since it's been given the name CCD, has it really reached epidemic proportions. But it certainly has been around symptomoniously for a number of years.
Every so often somebody will write about this, and they'll say that it continues, that we're still losing colonies hand over fist, that the we're in danger of losing a great part of our financial economic base in the horticultural industry. From what I can tell, we're really still not sure why the bees are disappearing. And are they still disappearing? Is that it? I mean, we still haven't found, you know, a couple of years when I wrote about it for Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, the idea was they kind of don't return to the hive and we don't know where they go. Is that still the case?
That's one of the really unique symptoms of colony collapse disorder is, like you just mentioned, one day you'll be out checking your colonies and you'll have the average 40,000 to 60,000 healthy insects in that colony, and you go back a month later and literally they've disappeared. And when we use the word disappeared, we mean that they haven't been killed by a pesticide where you see this big pile of dead bees in front of the hive. They're nowhere to be found, and that is one of the mysterious symptoms of CCD. And the theory on the disappearance component of CCD is that something's going on within the bees' brains, or some sort of a chemical or an issue is happening where the bee becomes disoriented. They fly out and they cannot find their way back, and that's about the only explanation we have right now as to why they simply go away and don't come back.
And I take it there are no other problems with viruses or parasites or fungi, on and on, that have affected bees that create this unique problem.
Well, I mean, you're actually hitting upon the 3 to 4 current theories as to what is going on with CCD.
And I want to talk about this a little bit. We'll throw in the low-grade pesticide exposure, but go ahead and talk about the various symptoms that people think are contributing to this.
Well, I mean, that's really the frustrating part of this, you know, and what you'll hear from me in a moment is that, you know, there really is no drum roll at the moment as to, aha, we have found the problem. There's a number of theories, and as a little quick point of introduction, as you and your listeners may know, the honeybees have been for years, since we've been managing them in honey production and in pollination services, they've been plagued for decades from a variety of exotic pests and diseases. So honeybees have been with unfortunately, has not been free of pest and disease issues for decades. Clearly, the biggest issue we face is the CCD. And the reason I go through the whole introduction is the theories around what causes CCD are numerous still even today, 3-4 years after it was first diagnosed, and that it might be a combination of all of these pests and diseases and pesticides that are currently and have been within the agricultural environment.
I'll tell you what, I'm gonna stop you right at that point. Let me take a short break, and when we come back, I want to examine those things, especially the whole pesticide issue, and I'm going to surprise people with where I go with this, because if you're a regular listener to my show, you would expect me to say, I know why the bees are disappearing, I know why they're CCD, it's those darn pesticides. They may be contributors, but from what I can see and what I and from talking to people like you and from doing some other reading, that might not be the case. And you and I can discuss that a little bit further, Ken, when we resume this conversation. It's Ken Haller. He's the former president of the Illinois State Beekeepers Association, and we're talking about colony collapse disorder on the Mike Novak Show. Speaking of which, guess who's going to be back at Pesci's next Sunday? A week from today, the 23rd of May, I'm looking around the room, and I'd say it's me. Well, and you too, Heather.
I'll be there.
Okay. The Mike Novak Show makes its triumphant return to Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines on Sunday, May 23rd. Not only that, but Mighty House is going to be there, too. We're all going back. Mighty House. Stop by between 8 a.m. and noon to be part of the big broadcast, but also to see why Pesci's was voted best florist and best garden center and nursery in the 2010 Daily Herald Reader's Choice Awards. You know why.
I do know why.
Because you've been living there for the last couple of weeks.
I've been living there, and then everything I purchased for myself, I gave away as gifts on Mother's Day.
There you go. Some of the reasons are Pesci's exquisite annuals, perennials, and vegetables. Pesci's has a large selection of pre-made, ready-to-go containers. If you didn't have time to grow your plants from seed, Pesci's has more than 50 varieties of herbs, 4 types of onions, 10 varieties of lettuce, and much more. So come on by for the broadcast next week and say hello. Please, come on over. Say hello. I think we're going to plop ourselves right in the middle of where they're selling stuff. So you're going to trip over the cable if you're there. Pesci's in Des Plaines, family-owned since 1924, where you'll find the best selection and prices guaranteed. Pesci's Garden Center is just off I-294 on South River Road, north of Rand Road in Des Plaines.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
You've heard me talk about Espoma fertilizers and potting mixes, but a couple of months ago, my friend Jennifer Brennan from The Chalet was on the show, and she raved about Espoma's line of Earth Tone pesticides. Now, Earth Tone pesticides offer effective answers to the gardener's toughest challenge, whether the problem is weeds, moss, fungus, slugs, snails, or insects. Espoma has a solution available. The one Jennifer really liked was Earth Tone 3-in-1 Disease Control. That's the one in the pink bottle. It kills fungus, insects, and mites. It can be used for indoor and outdoor plants. And it comes in a 24-ounce ready-to-use spray bottle and 16-ounce concentrate. You can also look for Earth Tone 4-in-1 Weed Control in the green bottle and Earth Tone Insect Control in the blue bottle. And this is the best part. As Espoma says in the FAQs on their website, by design, they do not handle any material deemed hazardous or toxic by the U.S. EPA. Now, that being said, always, always read and follow label directions. For more information about Espoma Natural Gardening Solutions, call 888-ESPOMA-1 or visit Espoma.com. That's ESPOMA.com. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. If you're listening to the show and you right now and you still missed it, you can catch the podcast. See, that's, you know, I'm always, you want to tell people that they can get the podcast, but if they're listening now, why do I have to tell them that? Because they might
listen. So they can listen later.
So they can listen again.
So they can, if they are going to miss the recycling truck and they have to get everything out there right now and they're afraid to hear all about
it's
bees.
It's Sunday. Nobody's picking up recycling on Sunday.
I'm trying to help you out, buddy. I'm trying. See what he does, folks? But they gotta
undermine
get it out.
You at every turn.
You do.
It's my
keep
job.
Keep me on my toes.
That's it.
But if people want to learn more about bees or having their own hive or find out what stings more, life with bees or without, they should call us right now at 773-838-9278.
Really? If you've got any questions about honeybees, the guy on the line can tell you. That's Ken Haller, former president of the Illinois State Beekeepers Association. Do you have an office now, Ken? Have they given you something else since you're not president anymore?
No, I was demoted to my basement in Elmhurst.
But you're still raising bees, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, we've got, I'm the volunteer beekeeper out at River Trail Nature Center in the Cook County Forest Preserve District. So have about 10 colonies out there constantly.
All right. Well, so tell me about your colonies. What did you find this year? They're up and running, I take it, at this point.
You know, as confusing as CCD has been over the years, as you know, every year, this year has also been confusing for beekeepers. I mean, our natural losses of colonies were relatively low this year. And Illinois still remains one of those few states that has not officially shown any CCD within its state lines.
That's really weird because a lot of people point the finger, and as I alluded to before the break, they pointed at pesticides, but they also pointed at GMOs, and it was May Barenboim, who University of Illinois scientist that I talked to several years ago, she said, well, if GMOs are to blame for CCD, this would be ground zero. We're in Illinois, after all, and there's a lot of corn in Illinois that's GMO stuff. So it seems to me a little weird that and good for the Illinois beekeepers that we've not been affected. Any theories on that, Ken?
Not at present, you know, but you mentioned GMOs, and we know more about what CCD is not at this point than we know what it is. And GMOs, of course, at the very, very top of 2008, you know, were very much under the microscope. And it took about a year or so to rule out GMOs, but currently, and still to this day, GMOs are not considered, particularly BT corn, and the pollen that honeybees may forage corn pollen, although corn's wind pollinated, there has not been any leading theories that GMOs are playing at least a significant role in CCD.
All right, and let's get to the pesticide issue, and I talked about that also, and I've got a link to a story that it's a column that was in the New York Times recently. And it's the Freakonomics people, and it's along the lines of what we've been talking about, that we know more about what's not causing it than we do what's causing it. And it was written by James McWilliams, and he talks about the idea that some people blame it totally on pesticides. And, you know, I'm not I don't like, believe me, I don't like synthetic pesticides. And I think they've done a lot of harm, and they're doing harm now that we can't even measure. That being said, I think that they're probably contributing to CCD from what I can read about it, but no more than half a dozen other areas, other factors. You know, like the varroa mite, like the Israeli, what do they call it? The Israeli acute, Israeli acute paralysis virus, like the Nosema fungus, like the stress. Some people blame the stress of transporting bee colonies all around the country all the time. Bees can get stressed out. They're very actually sensitive insects, aren't they?
You're absolutely right. And, you know, if there's any quick synopsis of, you know, what the research has shown over the last year to 2 years is, you know, the first 2 years of CCD, the immediate target of investigation was what single source out there is causing CCD. And over the last 2 years, that has evolved as we now know more about what it's not than what it is, that it may be a combination of three primary things. It may be a long-term bioaccumulation of the exotic pests and diseases that plague honeybee colonies on a day-to-day basis. It may be the fact that they're foraging in agricultural fields as well as residential backyards where there's a constant presence of a variety of herbicides and pesticides. And thirdly, the fact that CCD has primarily been effective on migratory the colonies that migratory beekeepers keep and the stresses associated with transporting these thousands and thousands of colonies every year, those stresses plus the exotic pests and diseases plus the bioaccumulation of pesticides and herbicides may be the ultimate answer. But that is tight and as concise of a theory is going on right now.
Yeah, and so while pesticides might contribute to it, I think from what and I'm not a scientist here, I'm just a radio guy, and I try to talk to people like you, and I try to talk to other people. Friends of mine who I respect very much will point the finger at one pesticide, like imidacloprid, which is used for grub control. And say, hey, you know, they banned it in France for that very reason, because all the bees disappeared. But you know what? France still has CCD, doesn't it?
It does. Europe is finally catching up in the epidemic nature of CCD. And you know, I think honeybees, as you pointed out a minute ago, Mike, are really, to a certain degree, the canaries of the coal mine within our backyards and within the agricultural community, in that, unlike the green movement going on right now, there's no one silver bullet that we need to target as consumers and stewards of this planet Earth to regain a healthy planet. There are countless, numerous reasons behind the state of the planet and the state and plight of the honeybee right now.
You know, that's a really good point. We look at amphibians as the canaries in the coal mine, to use that really overworked phrase, but it is appropriate. Maybe it's the bees. Maybe it's the bees we should be looking at as the harbinger of worse things to come. You know, maybe we got to, and then add things like, okay, well, we give them these pesticides and then we ship them around and then they're subject to all these pests and diseases. Oh, now we spilled a bunch of oil in the Gulf of Mexico. And let's look to ourselves and say, when is that going to start to affect us? And maybe the bees are giving us a early warning.
You know, it certainly may be the case, and you know, I think it's good to remind ourselves that, you know, honeybees are not just these great insects that are beautiful and colorful and we like to see buzzing around our yards. You know, they are directly responsible for 1/3 of every fruit and every vegetable that we eat, and that equates to a $15 billion industry. So these are not just these are not just organisms that we like to have around. These are organisms that have been around for millions of years, and in civilized society, providing much of what we consume and eat.
And we don't even have time to get into this, but of course they're not native. The Western honeybee is brought over from Europe, but and that tells us that there are natural pollinators here in the United States that perhaps we should be relying on a little more heavily. It's all these things, and you and I could talk about this for another couple of hours, but we're flat out of time. Ken Haller, always a pleasure to have you on. And, of course, if anything develops, you will contact me and we'll talk more about it.
Be happy to, Mike. Thanks for the time.
You have a great day now.
Thank you, sir.
You can have that greener grass on the other side of the hill, or maybe it's the sunny side of the street, with lawn products from Jonathan Green. A good lawn is simple, in a way. You need healthy soil, grass seed that's geared toward your environmental needs, fertilizer that feeds your soil, and problem solvers that control pests and disease. It's all part of what Jonathan Green calls the new American lawn. Here's just a sampling from Jonathan Green's lawn growth arsenal. There's a Green Up lawn fertilizer, which releases nitrogen for up to 12 weeks and has added iron and sulfur to help your lawns resist drought and disease. There's the dense shade mixture, which grows in shady areas where other mixtures may have failed. And also Jonathan Green's lawn fungus control, which is a fungicide that controls everything from summer patch to stripe smut. Stripe smut.
And that's a bad thing?
And nothing but. it's a Tom Lehrer. I'll have to
learn more about striped smut.
I don't think his song is about striped smut. It's just about smut. But that's a different story. Now, need gear to help carry out your mission for a better lawn? They have rotary, drop, and hand spreaders, too. You can find Jonathan Green products at SIDS Home and Garden Showplace in Bolingbrook, Pesquazy Home and Garden in Lake Bluff, Tholen's Garden Center in Kankakee, or go to jonathangreen.com for a full list of products and information.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bob-X. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bob-X repellent sprays. Bob-X guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective animal repellents on the market. Bob-X repellents give people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bob-X's unique deterrent ingredients are all natural and are environmentally friendly. Bob-X won't wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bob-X at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bob-X. To learn more about Bob-X, go to bobx.com. That's bobbex.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bob-X.
Now, this isn't a tip. It's what people have said and are saying about the care of trees. One customer said, "We have 3/4 acre with over 40 trees on it. We interviewed and received quotes by 3 local service teams. Not only was your quote from the care of trees the most competitively priced, but your arborist took thorough time to walk us through all of our options and pointed out things that neither of the other two competitors failed to show us." No, wait. Well, that's the way it's written, but actually what they meant was the opposite. And pointed out things that the other two competitors failed to show you. That's interesting that's up there like that. Another client said, "Excellent service, willingness to go that extra mile." You can go online for yourself to thecareoftrees.com and read more comments and testimonials just like this. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, or you're changing your landscaping, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Get ready. It's time to get ready and get ready for Rick DeMille weather. And it's brought to you by Drift Roses, the next big thing for small gardens. You okay there, Rick?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm just going from my morning voice into my radio voice.
I should have. Okay. Enjoy these easy-to-maintain ground cover varieties in 6 colors from...
Gotta get that cough button going, Mike.
From red to peach, visit DriftRoses.com. Yeah. / radio. You know, they're not going to pay for that billboard, are they? What?
My mic on.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, if you have a cold, it's the Drift Roses that'll make you feel all better.
Now they'll pay for it.
Now they'll pay for it because okay. It's this just explosion of color that lasts you all season long, and they bring you the best and most detailed weather forecast in Chicago.
Okay, that's all the time we have. Good night, everybody.
I clean up.
Now, we are going back out to Pesci's next week.
Yes,
and,
we are.
And this time, I didn't sucker punch Rick by asking him on the air whether he was going to be with us. I called him the other day, and of course, he said, I don't know yet. So,
I don't know. I just said, I have to check my schedule.
That means no, usually. I have to check my schedule.
I may have to volunteer at the church and ushering, you know.
Yeah.
See, every time I bring up church with Mike, he shuts up.
I know. Been there, done that.
Yeah, but you were at it. You were at a church yesterday. I was listening to your broadcast. It was great.
You know,
he was outside the church actually, because I think if he actually walked indoors, he'd burst into flame.
Is that right?
No, actually, the point is about the only church where I wouldn't burst into flame is a Unitarian church.
Yeah, that's true. I get that too.
But thank you. I'm glad you were listening. It was a great crowd, and it was the people on the panel were fabulous. The most amazing thing about what was going on there is the networking. Mm-hmm. Everybody in all the breaks at the end of the show, networking, passing cards around, talking about how they can help each other, how they can get food from one section of the city to another, what should they be growing, and how should they be doing it, how do they get a hold of their aldermen, how do they get a hold of other people, get the community involved in urban agriculture. It was fabulous. It was really fun.
Yeah, it sounded like a good time. And the great thing about radio is that when you hold up those sign that says, please applause, no one could see them.
Exactly. Actually, I had it tattooed on my forehead. It was a it's a temporary tattoo, but it's still there. Heather can see it this morning. It's right in the middle of my forehead.
It looks like laugh.
Right?
It says laugh.
If you say so.
So it looks like we're not going to get the really nasty rain. Is that done for a while? Are we going to get some of this?
Yeah. I mean, all the heavy rain, Mike, that we had over this past week is pretty much obviously kind of settled into the dry soil pretty nice. Even though we had some flooding conditions across the far northern suburbs, that was typical for this time of the year. You'll get a good little 3 to 4 inch, you know, what I call kind of explosion of rain in a 24-hour period of time. But I think the neat thing was everybody's stories on Thursday morning saying, oh, my gosh, I got no sleep last night because of all that thunder and lightning. And that was a pretty impressive, you know, set. I think it was like 3 different bursts of overnight thunderstorms. And obviously it was a little bit worse to the north than it was to the south. But I don't know, as a meteorologist, when you see that stuff beginning to light up at about 10 o'clock at night, you just know you're not going to have an easy night's sleep, because I wake up, I look out the window, I go from one end of the apartment to the other, I get on the, you know, I go online, I try to see where stuff is, and I think I got about 3 hours of sleep that night. And
I slept like a baby.
I did too.
Did you really?
I loved it.
Yeah, I think I got up. Actually, it wasn't thunder that woke me. When we had a particularly hard downpour, that, you know, for some reason, I'm more attuned to that. When your basement floods a couple of times, that'll wake you up.
Right.
You know, that's the sound when you hear that rain coming down really hard. You're thinking, do I need to pad down to the basement in my jammies and just see what's going on down there?
And Mike and Heather, do you remember? Friend of mine whose son Andrew was at my Christmas party.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. He was very into the weather.
Oh yeah, yeah. Rebecca, a friend of mine, and her son Andrew, I guess, was up pretty much nonstop saying cloud to ground lightning, cloud to cloud lightning. Look at this, look at this, and I think that's pretty
that's
much
awesome.
How I was with my parents when I was a kid, and I really remember my parents saying, will you just quiet down and go to bed? But you can't. It's like, I don't know, it's like Christmas morning all over again.
For meteorologists, anyway, and you have done this to this poor child.
No, believe me, there's times I'm like, I need a break. But you know what? I love when kids have so much passion about the weather, because you have to grab onto that early and then nurture it. And I think like all of us, you kind of have this passion when you're 10, 11, 12 years old. Then it kind of goes away a little bit, and then it kind of comes back a little bit later on in life. So for all the parents out there whose kids are like really into weather, and they're that age between 10, 11, and 12, grab onto it, nurture it, foster it, let it develop on their own. I mean, let the kids pretty much become their own little scientists. But seriously, it's those gifts that, you know, because when you have a kid that's 16 or 17 years old, and you go, so you're a junior in high school, what do you want to do? I don't know. You mean, do you have anything you want to do? I don't know. You don't want to hear that. It's when you have kids that really want to, you know, grab onto something, it's truly a blessing. It really is.
That's true. And I'm going to need a replacement in about 20 years. So, you know, we train him and he can take over for you.
Yeah, he really can. Mike, you know what? This is interesting stuff. Okay, today's date is the 16th, okay?
Yeah.
We're halfway through the month of May, which is really amazing when you think about it. Do you know how many 80-degree days we've had so far for the first half of May?
Heather, you want to guess?
I'm guessing 3.
Oh, my gosh, none.
I was going to guess 0 myself. Yeah.
Really? I thought we had that, like, 1 week of beautiful, glorious 80.
You're thinking April.
Oh.
Right. Okay, so guys, how many days above 80 have we had? Did we have the first half of April?
3.
We had 4.
Ooh.
Between April 1st and April 15th, we had 4 days above 80. And so far, for the first 15 days of May, we've had none. We had one day where it was 79 degrees, so it kind of counts a little bit. But yeah, this is springtime in the Midwest. You get warm for a period of, you know, 20 to 30 days, and you begin to cool off a little bit. So overall, Mike, you know, yesterday we made it only up to 61 degrees. A lot of cloud cover, wind off the lake, that really keeps temperatures down. Similar conditions today. We have some sunshine out there right now, a few clouds kind of drifting in from the south. But really what's happening is the atmosphere is becoming very bogged down, which means that the systems coming through are very weak. There's not a lot of moisture with it. There's not a lot of dry air with it. So what you have is this kind of 50-50 of clouds and sunshine and a little bit of rain. There was some rain to the south of us overnight. There's rain to the south of us now. But even if we get maybe an hour or two of sprinkles today and tomorrow, that should be about it. So temperatures low 60s today, and kind of cool for the rest of the week. Now is that my cue for you to play a commercial so that when we come back I can get more into the weather forecast? You just want it all at once.
Wow, you're getting good.
He's
at this.
Good.
It's like you've been in the media before. All right, we will return with Rick DeMille because we have a question. Yeah. Heather has a specific question about plants and the weather for the end of the month, and that's next when we return to Rick DeMille Weather.
Have a small garden and no time to care for it? And do you love roses but think you can't grow them? It's time you meet Drift Roses. They're the next big thing for small gardens. Drift Roses are naturally dwarf ground cover roses with dark, glossy foliage, almost maintenance-free. And they bloom from spring until frost in 6 delicious colors, from apricot to peach. Available at garden retailers everywhere. Visit driftroses.com/radio.
Zamboni just tweeted that she overslept. We found out last week that Zamboni is a woman.
Is a woman.
She's with kids.
She's a skate mom, like not a hockey mom, but a
roller derby?
No, that would be cool, though.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
But no, her kids, I believe, are in figure skating.
Get them into roller derby. That's much more fun.
Oh.
So,
I know,
and
I want
she,
my 12-year-old
so
daughter to miss, be missing a tooth.
She said she overslept, and she's wondering what was going on, and you missed the greatest conversation in the history of the world, and there's nothing I can do to bring it back.
Yes, there is, actually.
Yes, you can go to the podcast.
Yes, you can.
At the end of the day, it'll be up on MikeNovak.net. And do you have the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine in your hands yet? Press 1 for yes and 2 for no. Now, if you press 2, go out and get one now. Why? Our very own Beth Botts has a story about how one of the new gardening trends is to grow things vertically. And you might have heard about using diluted household detergents for pest problems. Is it safe? Well, you'll know by reading the magazine. And do you know the one about the Glencoe family that instead of a lawn planted vegetables in their front yard? Well, you see, Well, I don't have time for that. You'll have to pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine for yourself. It's 98 pages thick, and my column is on page 98. Don't ask me why. You can pick up a Chicagoland Gardening Magazine at garden centers and magazine stands all over, well, Chicagoland. Or get a subscription and have it delivered to your home. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600. Make pirating pests walk the plank with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Arr. Use this, you want to give me an R there, Heather?
R.
Joe Builder loves it when you do the R.
I know he does. It kind of creeps me out.
It does, me too. Use this organic brew from Bonide to control foliage-feeding worms like caterpillars and thrips. Bet you've never even seen a thrip before, but they're out there. So you can safely feast on your tomatoes, peppers, spinach, apples, and berries. Shiver me timbers, this pirate's gut is getting the grumbles. Thinking about these things on me fruit. Anyway, here's some gardening trivia about Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. It contains spinosad, which is derived from a naturally occurring soil bacterium that was discovered in an abandoned rum distillery in the Caribbean in 1982. It's true. Spinosad is classified as an organic substance by the USDA National Organic Standards Board and is used by organic farmers worldwide. Just spray Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew directly on the insect or your plants, but as I always tell you, please practice RAFLD, read and follow label directions. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at SIDS Garden Center in Palos Hills, Allsip Home and Nursery in Frankfurt, Buchemas, which I finally figured out how to pronounce, Buchemas Ace Hardware in Naperville, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you or to see a complete listing of all of the Bonide Garden Naturals. You're listening to the Mike Novak Show on WCPT. We got a whole bunch of frequencies, some on the AM side, some on the FM side. We're talking to one of the best meteorologists this side of...
Western Avenue?
Of what?
Of Western Avenue.
Of Western Avenue, yeah. No, I like Western Avenue. This side of Western Avenue. Actually, between Western and Ashland, this is the best meteorologist.
and
Tacos, Tacos, and Zaca Tacos.
Yeah, Irving Park and Damon. No, Damon's also west. So between Irving Park
and
Lawrence. Yeah.
There you go.
And Western and Ashland, he is the best in that area. So the question we had for you was from Heather. You may ask the question, Heather.
My question was, are we safe to plant our plants? Do we still have a fear of frost, or is that behind us?
No. And the part of the reason, Heather, is the pattern doesn't look like it's going to go back into somewhat of a cool northwesterly flow, which we got into for the first half of May. But, you know, even though we had, I think, three frost advisories. We didn't have one situation where the frost was actually potentially damaging. It was more of a slight chance. And I think for people in the western half of the metropolitan area, I think that rule of, you know, Mother's Day is when you really want to be careful. But as I've mentioned before, along the lakefront within a couple of miles, due to the fact that we have a wind off the lake, you know, even when it gets cool out, or even when we have some light winds, actually keeps you, you know, a bit warmer. So, to answer your question, yes, it's safe to plant. So
yay!
We're okay there.
Yeah, and the only thing that I would add to that, the caveat, is that even now, with it's still kind of cool. Nights are cool.
Right.
You're probably not in any danger with your tomatoes, but keep an eye, you know, in case something weird happens. But they're also not going to leap. At this point, they're not just going to take off on you because it's a little cool.
Yeah, there's still plenty of time for those, you know, for them to be, you know, obviously, as you mentioned, Mike, you know, getting healthy. But yeah, still lots of summer left. But overall, the farmers have done quite well. The crops are mainly, I think, about 95% completed across much of the state. We had about 2 to 4 inches of rain across the western and northwestern sections of Illinois into parts of Iowa. Most of the Midwest right now running, I'd say, about maybe 25 to 30% above normal. precipitation. Points further south and east in Indiana, southern sections of Illinois, a little bit drier. But that's okay. Overall, this has been, I think, one of the better springs we've had from a standpoint of how much rain we've received and when we've basically gotten the precipitation. It's been spaced out a little bit.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would like it to get a little bit warmer. It's kind of odd that April was almost somewhat warmer than it was or what it has been in May. And really, Mike, the long-range forecast over the next 7 days, I can guarantee you, we will not see an 80-degree day around here. The pattern just doesn't want to get warm.
You know what's going to happen, and I've seen it happen before.
Mm-hmm.
Memorial Day. Suddenly it's 90, and then it's 90 for 3 weeks. You know,
That'd be kind of nice to get. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get to 90, but the one thing that we have going in our favor for a rapid warm-up is that the ground is not completely saturated. Usually when you get those real soaking rains, in April and May, it takes a little bit warmer to dry out and warm up. And then what happens is you end up getting, you know, very humid as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is probably low 60s inland today, probably mid to upper 50s along the lakefront. The clouds have actually thinned down a little bit, but they're fairly thick about maybe 50 miles south of us. So we're looking for an increase in clouds later on this afternoon, maybe a couple of sprinkles. Still, this is great gardening weather. This is the kind of stuff you can, you know, wear jeans and a sweatshirt and gloves and a hat.
Yep.
And you know what? You're not sweating to death. So this is really good stuff.
And it's been great for the home gardeners who've had their cool weather veggies going. They've done very well this spring. So we will talk to you next week, and I'm hoping you'll come to Pesci's.
Yeah, just got to pull a few strings, Mike, and I'm sure I'll be out there.
We'll talk later in the week. And by the way, Rick Moskowitz says hi. He's in the studio, and he's taking care of our drain fly problem here. So.
Oh, good. Well, a good 10-inch shoe also works as well.
That's Rick DeMaio. Go to DeMaioWeather.com or MikeNovak.net, and the link is right on my homepage. Rick, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, see you, Mike.
It's time for a trip to Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center, where you will find the best selection of the season on every rose variety available, including shrub roses, flower carpet, knockout, easy elegance, and more from Jackson and Perkins, Monrovia, and others. Like, you know, unlike tomatoes, this is great rose weather. Get these in the ground right now. They're going to be really, really happy. And you can go to SidsOnline.com to get the information you'll need to keep your garden performing at its peak. For instance, now is also the time to plant summer blooming tender bulbs like dahlias, gladiolus, cannas, and caladiums. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills and Southwest Highway, and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. And I don't know if you heard about this before. I've been talking about it for a couple of weeks. The early bird gets the deal every Saturday in May at SIDS. Just arrive between 7 a.m. and 8:45 a.m. and save $10 off your purchase with the coupon you'll get from the SIDS early bird greeter. Oh, and when you're done planting, bring your cell packs, grower pots, and other plastic containers to SIDS for recycling. One of the reasons we love SIDS so much. Or you can pick up donated pots at SIDS for use in your home garden.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Believe it or not, we're getting to the end of the spring lawn planting season. You know, it's weird, but lawns are cool weather grasses, or the ones we use in the Midwest, are cool weather. And even though it isn't tomato weather yet, we're getting to the end of when you can plant a spring lawn. And now you know you've been thinking about trying EcoLawn, because this blend of fine fescues tolerates shade, will grow in all kinds of soil. Once established, it doesn't need much water or even mowing. And it's now available in Chicago at Lake Street Landscape Supply, 1810 West Lake Street in Chicago. So what are you waiting for? Of course, you can always go to ecolawn.com. That's ecolawn.com, EcoLawn. And no matter what you're growing, You want to give your plants the best chance of succeeding. Have you tried Dr. Earth potting soils? They have the same probiotics that are so effective in the Dr. Earth fertilizers. Dr. Earth potting soils can be used indoors and outdoors in raised beds, mixed with existing garden soil, added to existing soil in containers or pots, or used on its own. It's going to improve your soil's health and physical properties and increase nutrient availability for your plants. Do yourself a favor. Give Dr. Earth a try. 35 million satisfied customers cannot be wrong. DrEarth.com is where you go to find a dealer near you. This is the Mike Novak Show. We got news coming up at Zamboni Rotus, and she's asking about Green Festival, which is next Saturday and Sunday at Navy Pier.
Yes, sir.
And I tell you what, because she asked about it and because we're covering it, WCPT is going to be all over it. I'm doing a special show on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're going to be interviewing people at Greenfest and probably Tom Hartman. Let's send two tickets to Zamboni.
You got it.
All right. Let her know. I think she's listening, but you got two tickets to Greenfest, and we'll try to give away a few more of those during the program. And guess what? In the next few weeks, we're giving away Clapton tickets. It's just awesome. Tell you more about it in a little bit.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by EcoLawn, the ultimate low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is, Mike Novak.
The second big hour of the Mike Novak Show, and you should have seen Heather's face at the end of the last hour when I said, we're going to be giving away Clapton tickets. What? You're going to, what? What? Hey, tell me more. Well, T-Mobile is teaming up with Chicago's Progressive Talk. And they're encouraging people to go to the Greenfest next week and recycle their old cell phones, which is a great effort. And and you know what? We'll try to give away some more Greenfest tickets, too, before the end of the show. But they're also going to lay some Clapton tickets on me for a concert that's in June. Now, I don't have all the details right here. I just know I'm giving some of these away, and we're going to... I told Heather to get on the horn.
I got on the horn. I got voicemails, but I told them to call us back in the studio for more details. So details pending.
Details pending on this. And maybe I'll have to just string people along for another week. But it's a reason to listen to the show because you might win Clapton tickets.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, irony of all ironies, I heard Layla on my way here today on the radio.
Let's drag out some Clapton. Have you got any?
Okay.
You think you can find some for me?
I think I can find you one or two.
Rick Moskovich is still hovering around. No. Don't come in yet. Nope. He's hovering from A-Plus Pest Control, hovering in the studio. And you're not coming on the air until you get rid of those drain flies, until they're all gone. All right? Meanwhile, let us go to line one, bring in an old buddy of mine, Steve Reich. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing fine, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning. Steve is the chief cook and bottle washer for the Fertisorb Company. You've heard about them on my radio show in the past. And not too long ago, actually, because Steve was part of the infamous remote Radio Remote Meltdown from Mighty House.
That's one way to put it.
It's online. They've got the podcast of it up there. You guys are out at the Marriott, and I know that you were with your son, who had a booth out there. And Mighty House was trying to do a broadcast, and everything went wrong.
Yeah, that
day.
Was. I couldn't stop giggling though, because I could just imagine the panic-stricken faces running in and out of the parking lot.
Well, my question to you is, you guys are both going to be at Pesci's next week. Who's going to be back at the studio minding the store if everything melts down again?
The very capable Michael
Sanders.
I don't know. From what Joe Builder said about Mike Sanders, I don't know if he'd want
Whoa! Oh, them's fighting words.
Oh, no. Mike was our tour de force yesterday.
Actually, yeah. Mike salvaged what there was of that broadcast, okay?
Yeah, he did.
It was one of the funniest things I've been involved in for years.
If you haven't heard this, I believe it was like March 4th or something. It's on the MightyHouse.net site. And they even say, Remote Fiasco.
Uh-huh.
You got to go and listen to it if you can stand to have the broadcast signal kind of go in and out. And then, of course, I had to run into the studio.
Yeah.
Mike
grabbed the board, Mike Sanders.
And then
anchored the board, and then we ran into the hallway and tackled Mike as he was trying to go home and have a nice afternoon.
That's right.
And we hauled him back into the studio.
And believe me, I did not get paid for the overtime. But it was pretty funny, and it's up there, and you can hear that. But Mr. Reich, as I mentioned, did you create this, or do you have a friend, a scientist friend, or somebody who put together Fertisorb?
No, it was developed by a professor of microbiology out at and everything else. He's one of the most brilliant men I ever met out at Utah State University, and his concern was out there with the high alkaline soils. He was seeing plants being killed for lack of iron, even though there's tons of iron in the soil, which is bound up with with the pH. So he developed a product that keeps the iron free from being bound up, and it ultimately led to the incorporation of full NPK and all the other nutrients into a super absorbent polymer, which remains, which allows the nutrients to remain 100% plant available, even under varying pH conditions and things like that, and it morphed into the product that we now call Fertisorb.
And then you got on board because you saw what you thought was a fabulous product. I would think, I know you tell people you can use it in your soil, but I would think primarily for containers because that's the hardest thing to keep hydrated. The polymers hold on to the water and the fertilizer gets released slowly. And the great thing about it is that you use less of both, fertilizer and water.
Right. Not only that, containers is where we really shine, because it's not an organic product. We do not need to have the mycorrhizal type, we don't need to have things going through a bug's gut in order for the plant to be able to use it.
Well, but that's an interesting point. Here's the way I look at it, and this is me personally, and I think that if you're dealing with your soil that is in your yard, I want it to go through the gut of a bug.
Sure.
and have the mycorrhizae doing their jobs there. But in a container, I've had people ask me this at garden talks, and they say, "Well, what about a container? I mean, what do we do up there?" And I said, "Well, you know what? Get yourself some nitrogen, get yourself some nutrients, and put it in there. I don't have a problem with synthetic fertilizers if you're growing things in containers. And what you have seems like the perfect solution."
It is, because what we have is a product that's 100% plant available. Like I said, it's incorporated into the soil as you plant. So when you're doing up your containers and things like that, you put it in the potting soil at the time you plant. And what happens is that as you water, the absorbent polymers do what they do, and they absorb water, but they put the nutrient that's bound up in the polymer in solution. And it allows the root then to grow through the polymer granule, which it does, and extract the nutrient. It's 100% plant available. So what we can do is we can provide a full 4 months worth of nutrient to plants using significantly less nitrogen, which is the measuring stick of how much fertilizer you put in your plants. we use much less nitrogen. There's no leaching and there's no salt buildup that you have to leach with clear water. Every time you water, you're basically expanding that polymer granule again and feeding your plants.
And the name of the product is Fertisorb, F-E-R-T-I-S-O-R-B. Now, I forget, does the website have the hyphen or not?
The website does not have the hyphen. It's F-E-R-T-I like fertilizer, S-O-R-B like absorb.com.
And you can go there. Or Chalet still carrying it?
The Chalet has been a very, very strong supporter of the product for quite some number of years, and Jennifer Brennan, to her everlasting credit, has been a great champion of the product. And
she's a good egg, isn't she?
She's a doll. I love her.
Yeah. And the fastest talking woman in horticulture.
Yeah, I can't listen as fast as she talks half the time. But they do have it at the Chalet, or you can get it on my website. And it's a product that it goes a long way. I think it's economical compared to other plant food products. If you use them according to their label directions, you're applying many, many times. This is something you apply once at the beginning when you pot up your plants and you're done.
Steve Reich, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Someday we're going to talk politics.
Oh, I'd love to do that, but I think you'd lose listeners big time.
I don't know. I think a lot of listeners would like what you have to say about things. But go to Fertisorb.com or stop by the Chalet. Ask for Jennifer. Just tell the people. Here's what you do. You go in the Chalet. You say, I heard about this product on Mike's program. And I was wondering if you have it. It's called Fertisorb. And say, make sure you mention Steve. Well, not so much Steve. Just Fertisorb. But make sure you mention Mike. That's the important thing.
That's right.
Because it is all about me, is it not, Steve?
Not absolutely. It's all about you.
Always great talking to you, buddy. And I hope that the next time you're on a remote broadcast, it doesn't turn into a fiasco.
I'll tell you what. I will again say, I think that is some of the most innovative and some of the best radio, and I would urge anybody to go listen to that. I listened to it a week or so ago, and I just couldn't believe how funny it was.
And it's on mightyhouse.net. I'll get the date. Go try that down, Heather, and we'll let people know what date they got to go listen to the podcast of the Mighty House Show. Steve, we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mike. Take care.
These days, more and more businesses are going green, and that's good news. But the growing popularity of green service providers, and you also have to watch out for greenwashing. Watch out for greenwashing. And one of the people you don't have to worry about that with is WRD Environmental. Since it was formed in 1997, WRD's mission has been to create sustainable landscapes. They have always used locally grown native plants when possible in their design and build projects. They use recycled, energy-efficient supplies, and they've always sought nature's balance. Being green has simply been part of their DNA since their founding 13 years ago. Even their location speaks to their commitment. WRD is in the Chicago Center for Green Technology, one of the nation's greenest buildings. Their civic contributions towards sustainability run deep. Staff members are on the boards of a variety of green organizations. They helped me for many years with the Midwest Ecological Landscaping Association, which I helped found. And through the years, they have donated their expertise to a number of green nonprofits. For experienced, sustainable landscape development, trust the professionals at WRD Environmental. On the web at WRDEnvironmental.com.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bobex. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bobex repellent sprays. Bobex guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective animal repellents on the market. Bobex repellents give people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bobex's unique deterrent ingredients are all natural and are environmentally friendly. Bobex won't wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bobex at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bobex. To learn more about Bobex, go to Bobex.com. That's Bobex.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bobex.
The word on Clapton, details pending, is what Heather has found out from the sales department here at Chicago's Progressive Talk, but we will be giving away tickets. That seems to be the bottom line. Yes, you can prepare to be jealous of me. Anyway, here's a tip from the Care of Trees. We're getting into the season when emerald ash borers are active, so here are some things you need to know. First, EAB attacks only ash trees. That's all. Adult beetles are metallic green and about a half inch long. Adults leave a D-shaped exit hole in the bark when they emerge in spring. Woodpeckers like EAB larvae, and heavy woodpecker damage on ash trees may be a sign of infestation. Now, here's a really important part. And the Care of Trees wants you to know that you should not transport firewood. Just say no. Don't do it, especially across state lines in the Midwest. You might be helping to spread emerald ash borer. Finally, if you suspect insect activity, contact your local extension office or the Care of Trees. This is what they do. They've been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. When you want to make sure that your ash trees have the best possible chance against emerald ash borer, and you can ask the Care of Trees what the cutting-edge treatments are, you should invite those certified arborists to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Here's Dr. Wally's tip of the week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Do you like to grow tomatoes? Well, Pesci's announces the 2010 Tremendous Tomato Contest, sponsored by the Daily Herald. In today's, in today's Daily Herald, you'll find the rules for the contest. Of course, you can also go online to Pesci's.com for the rules. Every Sunday during the contest, Dr. Wally will share his own tremendous tomato tips. The contest will end Sunday, October 10th. So you got a while. Don't rush it. Don't get them out there too early. The tomato with the largest weight and size at the end of the business day will be declared the winner. First place is $100 Pesci's gift card, plus over $100 worth of organic products at Pesci's. Second place is a $75 Pesci's gift card, and $75 worth of organic products. Pesci's Garden Center, family owned, and you know, by the way, you can go and talk to Wally right now. I know they line up, and he's got tomato tips if you can grab him in person there. Yes, Heather?
I saw him last Saturday, and I was just walking through, and he recognized me from the show, and we started chatting, and a friend of mine had gotten a rain barrel. So he's more knowledgeable on just flowers and stuff because he went on and on about how to prevent mosquito larvae in a holistic manner, how to stop the, you know, too much algae production. He is the man of knowledge at Pesci's Garden Center.
He is the man of knowledge. And Pesci's is just minutes off of I-294, 170 South River Road, one block of Rand Road in Des Plaines. We're there next week from 8 to noon. Visit them online at Pesci's.com.
Thank you for your time. Any questions?
Jonathan Green, I've noticed some of your grass seed says contains naturally insect-resistant grass. What does that mean?
These grasses contain a beneficial fungus called endophytes, which give the grass natural resistance to lawn insects.
That fungus is good for the lawn?
It is, yes. It's a natural defense that does not diminish over time.
Jonathan Green, I don't have much grass under my trees. What do I do?
Seed with either my shady nooks or dense shade grass seed. I've received many compliments on these.
I have the opposite. Too much sun, so my lawn burns up in the summer. So what do I do?
Use my Black Beauty or Black Beauty Ultra grass seed. They root very deeply into the soil to reach available underground water.
Look for my Jonathan Green lawn and garden products at your local garden center or hardware store. To find the nearest dealer, visit jonathangreen.com.
Well, I'll help you out right there. You can find Jonathan Green products at Alsip Home and Nursery in St. John, Indiana, Hare Nursery in Peoria, Wanamaker's Home and Garden Center in Downers Grove. And did you know that you can ensure transplant success with a plant food that is safe for people, pets, and the environment? Well, now you can with new Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma, the makers of Holytone. Biotone Starter Plus feeds naturally and adds beneficial microbes proven to help plants establish fast. The secret is the patented blend of Biotone beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizae fungi. They go to work fast to grow deeper roots quickly so your new plants can survive and thrive even in poor soils. And unlike chemical fertilizers, Biotone Starter Plus is low in salts, so it won't burn plant roots and won't leach out of the soil with the next rain. Simply mix it into your soil at the time of planting. What could be easier? Biotone Starter Plus ensures your new plants will perform their best and provide delight for a lifetime. For more information about Biotone Starter Plus and other Espoma products, call 888-ESPOMA-1 or visit www.espoma.com, where you can join the Espoma Garden Club to receive timely tips and information. Espoma, Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. Actually playing this because of the statement we made earlier about me bursting into flame being in a church.
Hey, I was in a wedding, a Catholic wedding, and I didn't know what I was expecting. And I didn't burst into flame, and I was in that Catholic church for a couple hours.
I wasn't alone, too.
There was another bridesmaid who was also unknowingly expecting. It was an interesting wedding.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And we weren't the ones getting married.
I got to tell you, I got an email. It was a while ago from Kathleen, who's the webmaster, and I told her she needed to post something, and she sent me an email with the message, look at your own damned homepage. So,
I like her.
Oh, I know you do. And what she did is she put the link up there to the talk that I'm doing. What happened to my, why am I no longer on MikeNovak.net here? Where did it go? Okay. But anyway, if you go to MikeNovak.net on the home page, there's information about the talk I'm doing at East West University. There's a picture of a bear in a tree. Did you see that?
Yes. That was,
isn't that awesome?
He's awesome. He's cute.
There's information on our extra show next Saturday from 11 to 1. We're covering Cobb Alive. Cobb Connection is having their big party out in one of their urban gardens. We're going to cover that and Greenfest at the same time. I've got information on keeping it fresh for the teenagers who want to write about the value of urban gardens and win White Sox tickets and other valuable prizes and get announced on this show on June 6th. And then towards the bottom, you'll see the link to my talk at East West University. Way too much going on this week. Let's just go right now to line one. You know, and the other reason I played Losing My Religion, one way to get it back is to pick up a book called Salmon in the Trees. How do you like that segue, Amy?
Well, it's interesting.
Oh, come on. You got to give me better than that.
I love it.
Amy Gulick, and I did pronounce that correctly, did I not?
Yes.
Yeah, I know that because I left a message on your phone last night, and I went, oh, it's not Gulick, it's Gulick.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, very good. It's hard to say.
And she has written a fabulous book. Well, actually, she didn't write it. She took the photos and employed a bunch of people, conservationists, scientists, journalists, to write essays. And it's about the Tongass National Forest in Alaska. Now, if you want to know where that is, and I wrote this on my website, and Amy, you might want to go to MikeNovak.net and see this week's show. Basically, I asked the question, how did we steal that from Canada? That's what I want to know. Because that's where all the good stuff is, right along the coast, in this remarkable temperate rainforest. And do you live in Washington State?
I do, near Seattle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you know what it's like to see degraded.
Yeah,
forest. Because I people who've listened to my show before have heard this, and I'm not saying it to brag or anything. I just, for a while, had a home in the Pacific Northwest, vacation home on the Olympic Peninsula. Mm. We were at Lake Quinault.
Okay.
And there's a natural area around Lake Quinault. And you get, you know, about 20 square feet of something that hasn't been logged. And I know I'm exaggerating there. But the point is, what I learned about the Pacific Northwest and what I learned about America when I had a house out there is that our old growth trees are in danger. And the industry, timber industry, which goes through its ups and downs, mm-hmm. and I guess is kind of in a down period right now, just eyes the old growth and licks its chops and just says, why can't we get our hands on that old growth stuff? And, of course, my answer is always, because there's only 2% of it left in the world. That's why we're not going to let you do it anymore.
Yes.
But you went to the Tongass National Forest in Alaska for 2 years, paddled around, hiked around, took these remarkable photographs. And if you go to my homepage, MikeNowak.net, N-O-W-A-K.net, you'll see one of them, which is a bear. That is such a great photo. Just hanging in a tree, just taking a taking a snooze, it looks like.
That photo has reduced many a grown man to a little pool of drool.
Yep, it is. That is just amazing. And there's lots of pictures of bears in your book, of eagles, of whales, of conifers, of the old growth forest. The Tongass is something rich and unique. How unique is it, Amy?
Well, the Tongass is a type of an ecosystem that's known as a coastal temperate rainforest. And this is an incredibly rare ecosystem.
Well, there's only about four of them in the whole world, as I understand
it. Yeah, about a handful. And they've, I mean, I guess to put it in even more impressive statistics, this type of ecosystem has only ever existed on 1/1,000th of the planet. And the reason for that is it takes just the right conditions for this type of ecosystem to form. So they're incredibly rare. And many of them are gone. They were gone long ago. There were actually some in Ireland and Scotland, some in Iceland, some on the Black Sea, some in Japan. And those are gone because people cut them down for development or agriculture or for whatever reason.
Well, before, I think, really understanding how unique they were.
Yes. Oh, exactly. I mean, again, this was for those places, centuries and centuries ago that that those were cut down. What makes the Tongass so unique is, first of all, it's relatively still intact. Again, it's very rare, and it contains 1/3 of the world's remaining old-growth coastal temperate rainforest. And
1/3
of the world. 1/3 of the world.
Wow.
Right. And it contains the largest reserves of old-growth forest left in the United States. So it's a very rare, incredibly special treasure, is what I like to portray.
It is, and it still has all five of the Pacific salmon species.
Yes, and not only does it have all five Pacific salmon species, but it has every single species that has ever existed there at the time of European settlement. So that ecosystem is fully intact. There is not a single species missing. And to me, this is absolutely astounding in the 21st century when, we've lost so much elsewhere. So this incredible cycle of life is still intact here. And so I made the book in order to try and, help Americans understand this incredible treasure that we all own. This is public land, and it is entrusted to all of us.
All right, let's go right there, because, as I said, I had a house on the Olympic Peninsula of Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at a map, one of the things I bought was a photograph of the Olympic Peninsula from space, which I'm sure you've seen before.
Yeah.
And if you, there are several jurisdictions on that peninsula. One is the National Park, and the other is National Forest, and then of course there's privately owned lands. And if you look at the map from space, you can see the outline of the national park because that is the only place that is undisturbed.
Yes.
And you could practically draw it with a pen. The point I'm making is that's national park. National Forest is quite different. I think people in the lower 48 who don't live near those areas get confused. Mm-hmm. National Forest's job has always been to help people, well, to put it unkindly, exploit those areas. Sometimes for good in having folks get access to them, but also sometimes for logging, for minerals, for other things. So how, if the Tongass National Forest is managed by the forest system, how do we protect it since they have a history of allowing companies to come in and exploit those kinds of lands?
Right, right. That's a great question. They, again, I mean, these are public lands. They are entrusted to all of us. And I know a lot of us tend to think that we don't really have a lot of say into how they're managed, but we really, really do. And we can stand up and demand. It's like, okay, no more. No more exploiting this, no more destroying this ecosystem, no more, chopping it up into little pieces until it's, just remnants of its former self.
But all you got to do is look at Sarah Palin and the kinds of things she says. I know, I had to bring her into this somehow, but I'm not going to talk about her. I want to talk about Alaskans. Don't Alaskans, I'm sure there's a lot of conservationists up there, mm-hmm. but I'm sure there's other people who say, hey, it's our state. We can do with it as we please.
I mean, I think that's true in any state where you find federal land. I know in Washington, we kind of tend to have the same attitude towards, say Mount Rainier National Park or many of our national forests as well. But and I think we think that because, again, we live so close to them and they are virtually our backyard. But again, it's not true. I mean, whether you live in Alaska, Florida or Illinois, you own that Tongass National Forest. And you do have just as much say as an Alaskan does. And I will say that the people in Southeast Alaska, which is where the Tongass National Forest is located, most of them absolutely love where they live. They love, because it's right on the coast. So you've got the best of both worlds. You have this incredible old growth forest, and then you've got the ocean right there. So many people make their living fishing, commercial fishing, or perhaps guiding sport fishermen. There's a lot of tourism in the area. More and more people are coming to visit this area to see, again, this incredibly rare, intact, old-growth forest. And the local people there, for the most part, they know that, that forest is worth more to them intact than it is cut down.
But some people don't. And I don't want to belabor that point because it just scares me to think that, every couple of years, you read about pressure to build logging roads through the forest, and mm-hmm. You and I both know that a logging road is not benign, and it does break up ecosystems, and there are places that should just remain wilderness, and this is one of them.
Yes, yes, and that's exactly how we can continue to protect the Tongass. Part of the work that I'm collaborating with several conservation groups in the area that are working to preserve the Tongass, there are these critically what scientists call biologically productive areas in the Tongass, and they're these incredible intact watershed areas where, again, every species that ever existed is still there. I mean, these places are thriving, and they're holding the whole ecological integrity of the Tongass together. And many of these places are not protected, and so what we're trying to do is, again, raise awareness, let Americans know about this place, and let our decision makers, which would be our congresspeople, know that we want these remaining critical areas protected mm-hmm. In order that, this ecosystem continues to thrive. And I have a lot of hope for this place. I think finally, in the history of at least Americans anyway. I think our understanding of ecology is so much more than it ever was. Like you had mentioned earlier, these other coastal temperate rainforests, when they were cut, centuries ago, we just had no idea, what we were cutting and how important it was, not only to wildlife, but to us as well.
Right.
Today we have that understanding. We know, we know what this ecosystem needs in order to thrive and remain intact. And the really hopeful part is we have this incredible opportunity today to get it right somewhere. I fully believe that we can do this in the Tongass. And again, it's just the timing could not really be better to to preserve this place kind of once and for all.
That's Amy Gulick. She is the photographer, I was just showing Heather some of the photos in the book here, and they're stunning. They're just stunning, and I'm jealous. I'm jealous that you get to go there and do this, and one of my dreams, you know, I've been so close to Alaska but never gotten there. One of my dreams is to go up and see the Tongass. Yes.
I wouldn't. Now that Palin's out, you're safe to go back.
Yeah, I guess.
That's a good start for
That's
Alaska.
True,
getting her
I guess.
Here's the great thing about the Tongass. You know, a lot of these areas where, again, and this is a place where, I mean, there are thousands of grizzly bears, millions of wild salmon, and the largest nesting density of bald eagles in the world. I mean, it is just a thriving, teeming, wildlife place. And a lot of areas like that in the world that are, you know, that wild and that intact, sometimes they're really hard to get to. You know, they're very remote. You have to camp. Mm-hmm. They're expensive to get to. This is not the case with the Tongass. And again, it's another thing that makes it so unique. It's fairly accessible for people to go. You can fly, you know, on a commercial airline. You can land in the capital of Alaska, which is Juneau, and you can walk across the street and you're in the Tongass. Or you walk across the street the other way and you're on the coast.
Yeah, I was amazed. I didn't realize that Juneau was right in the middle of this. So.
Yeah.
All right, before I let you go, and I want to let people know that Amy is speaking at the Peggy Notobart Nature Museum. It's actually kind of why you're on the show today. 2430 North Cannon Drive, this Tuesday, May 18th, 7 p.m., free registration. Go to my website to find out, but you would write to adultprograms@naturemuseum.org. So you're NC-17, huh, Amy? Is that
yeah.
it? The adult programs.
Kids are more than welcome, and I think they'd love it.
They will. The kids are going to eat this up. We have to. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you the title, Salmon in the Trees. I know why it's called Salmon in the Trees, but why don't you explain? Because they're not literally salmon are like flying through the trees, or
isn't it because the river basin floods?
Nope.
No.
It's much cooler than that. Explain it, Amy.
It is. It's so cool. And again, it's the whole reason why I've made the book. So scientists have discovered that there actually are salmon in trees in this part of the world. And the way this works goes something like this. So salmon are born in freshwater streams and rivers, and they head out to the oceans to mature. And then they return to their birth streams as adults to spawn the next generation. And when they return, there are lots of hungry animals waiting for them, particularly bears. And again, in this part of the world, there are thousands and thousands of bears, both grizzly bears and black bears. And often the bears will catch the salmon from the stream, and then they carry them away from the stream, and they drop them in the woods. And toward the end of a good salmon season, they're pretty picky on what part of the salmon they eat, and they leave the rest behind. And over time, again, with thousands of bears and over, you know, a couple months of salmon spawning, this adds up to thousands and thousands of salmon carcasses spread all throughout the forest. And over time, the nutrients from the bodies of the salmon decompose into the soil, and the trees absorb them through their roots. And scientists have actually been able to trace a particular form of marine nitrogen in trees near salmon streams that they can link directly back to the fish. So that is how salmon end up actually in the trees.
And we're talking fish fertilizer.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
Because we're going to hear a commercial in just a couple of minutes about Neptune's Harvest fish fertilizer from the Atlantic. Well, this is the Pacific version of Neptune's Harvest. So that's a cool story. Amy Gulick is at the Peggy Notobart Nature Museum this Tuesday, 7 p.m. It's free registration. Pick up a copy of this book. Give it to a friend. They are really going to love it. It'll make buy it now. Hang on to it for Christmas and give it to them, you know.
It would look stunning on a coffee table.
It would. And Amy, thank you so much. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get there, but I hope I get to meet you sometime. And actually, I'll be coming out to Washington to stay at your place for a while, just so I'd let you know.
Please do.
Okay. Take care now.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk. Get at the helm and start steering your plants. Oh, by the way, Rick Moskovitz coming up. He's now in studio. He's cured the drain fly problem. And he will talk to us in a second. Get at the helm and start steering your plants toward better health with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew from Bonide, an organic way to protect plants from critters like beetles, codling and gypsy moths, leaf miners, and spider mites. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, which contains a naturally occurring soil bacterium used worldwide by organic farmers, is safe to use on vegetable gardens, annuals, perennials, berries, trees, shrubs, and fruit trees. Use that fruit to make some delectable pirate glog.
Yummy.
You can apply Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew directly on the insect or your affected plant. You can use a trigger spray, handheld, backpack, or hose end sprayer, but always read and follow label directions and know why you're applying Captain Jack's before you use it to protect your plant treasures. What I mean is, look closely and identify the culprits, which is what Rick Moskowitz does all the time. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Plant Hill Nursery in Carpentersville, Schwartz Nursery in Addison, Kinnish Village Greenhouse in Palatine, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you or to see a complete listing of all the Bonide Garden Naturals.
Do you want your landscape to stand out but don't know where to start? A landscape that stands out starts with a knockout. The Knockout family of roses are the most disease-resistant roses available. All seven members of the Knockout family are easy to grow and require no special care. Tons of flowers bloom from spring until frost, making your landscape stand out all season long. Available at garden retailers everywhere. Visit theknockoutrose.com/radio.
Couple of things. Heather just said she tweeted about Rick DeMille saying it's safe, frost.
Safe to plant, that the risk of frost is behind
us. Everybody's retweeting it now on Twitter. It's
all
over.
I put straight from the meteorologist's mouth.
And by the way, one of the tweeters was kind of begging for, who was
that? Greenfest tickets. It was My Skinny Garden.
Give her two.
You got it.
My Skinny Garden, you got two Greenfest tickets. And I'll tell you what, we'll take, if somebody's calling in, maybe they're trying to get Greenfest tickets too. Let's take the fifth caller and give two more away. How's that? 773-838-9278. 773-838-WCPT will get you two Green Fest tickets. It's time for a trip to Sid's Greenhouses and Garden Center, where you'll find the best selection of the season on every rose available, including shrub, flower carpet, knockout, easy elegance, and more from Jackson and Perkins, Monrovia, and others. And you can go to Sid's online and get the information you'll need to keep your garden performing at its peak like this. Start pinching the growing tips of mums when they reach about 4 inches tall. If you got them in your garden, of course, your perennials. Continue until mid-July, and then you got to lay off of them because they got to set some buds. And then the plant will bloom in late summer and fall. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard. And remember, the early bird gets the deal. Every Saturday in May at SIDS, just arrive between 7 a.m. and 8:45 and save $10 off your purchase with the coupon you'll get from SIDS Early Bird Greeter. Oh, and when you're done planting, bring your cell packs, grower pots, and other plastic containers to SIDS for recycling, or pick up donated pots for use in your home garden.
Hello, gardeners. It's Ann from Neptune's Harvest Organic Fertilizers in Gloucester, Mass. If you're planting flowers, vegetables, shrubs, or just trying to keep your lawn healthy and green, then you should know about Neptune's Harvest. Neptune's Harvest fertilizers come from the mineral-rich North Atlantic Ocean, which contains all the nutrients plants and soil need. Flower growers, get your sunglasses out. You'll want to use them when you're looking at how bright those colors are. Vegetable growers, with Neptune's Harvest, you can achieve the amazing results you deserve for all your efforts. You'll have the most abundant, sweet-tasting supply of organically grown produce. And there's nothing like the taste of a fresh garden tomato you grew yourself. Neptune's Harvest works so great, whether you know what you're doing or not, you'll look good and you'll feel good because you're doing the right thing for the environment and your health. Try Neptune's Harvest products from the ocean to set your plants in motion. Available at your local garden center, and to learn more, go to neptunesharvest.com.
Roses are red, violets are blue. But back to roses. Give your buds the royal treatment by treating your beds with Rose Bed Amendment by Back to Nature Compost. Whether your roses are red, yellow, or pink, this nutrient-rich compost is formulated especially for them, providing your gems with a balanced blend of composted cotton burrs, cattle manure, sulfur, and feather, cottonseed, and alfalfa meals. This is great stuff. The cotton burrs and cattle manure and rose bed amendment not only neutralize soil pH, but they provide an important food source for beneficial soil organisms, organisms that aerate the soil, help to keep harmful pathogens in check. The cottonseed and feather meals in rose bed amendment provide added nutrients, while the alfalfa meal acts as a natural growth enhancer and can help control certain fungal diseases. So primp your petals with rose bed amendment from Back to Nature, available at The Barn in Cary, Gethsemane Garden Center in Chicago, and Pesci's in Des Plaines and Lake Geneva. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Yes, Heather, you're pulling the mic over for a reason.
I just want to let you know our caller one is Nikki. She's on I-94 en route from Michigan, has a question for you about fertilizer. And then the remaining callers are all interested in Green Fest.
Well, we said fifth caller, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had more than five. Well, we've had about...
See, the way it works, Heather, if I say fifth caller, you take the
I know Francesca
fifth
was our fifth caller, and then Ken from Glen Ellen called in, too.
And you gave him ticks, too.
Yes, I did.
You're very generous. That's very nice. All right.
Well, I think he was so nice on the phone, I couldn't say no. He
Nikki, hang
to me.
On a second. I'll get to you in a second, because I got Rick Moskovitz in the studio. So how's the drain fly problem here?
Gone.
Yeah?
It's gone, I hope.
I hope so, too. And you use all natural stuff. I mean, A-plus pest control, that's Rick Moskovitz from there. And he's going to spray the stuff on his
hand. And he rubs it on his face.
I know, just to prove how gentle
it is. I mean, I understand it's non-toxic, but that's a little creepy.
Don't you ever wash?
No, it's better. It takes away wrinkles, you know.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, sure.
That's why you do it.
Is that on the label?
Told you that picture up.
So tell us how that works. I mean, in terms of the drain flies, which were a horrible, horrible problem here.
Well, drain flies obviously live in the drain. And they're living on the organic gook, basically, that's in the drain, and this cleans it.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, it's a yeast product, enzyme product.
Yeah.
And it dissolves the organic material, and they got nowhere else to live.
So they go away?
They go away.
It just...
We also used a biological control called Gentrol, which is a
A what? Called what?
It's called Gentrol, which is a biological... Insect, what's it called? An insect growth regulator. They can't become sexually mature. They can't multiply.
That's just cruel.
I'm okay with it after 10,000 of them buzzing around in the ladies' room.
Yeah, she called me up, Heather, and she said, "Help!"
I know.
What
is it with the drain flies? I mean, Rick DeMaio had the problem, and you took care of it for him, which mm-hmm. is great.
It was last August.
Uh-huh. I don't know what it is. What is it with the people here at this station?
Well, they said
and drain
that our
flies?
Drain ran dry, that there's a catch basin, and that someone is supposed to be maintaining it and adding water to it on a regular basis to create a barrier mm-hmm. so the flies can't make it through.
Yeah,
the grate.
It's a plumbing
and
problem.
And someone fell through and has not been adding water to the drain.
Yeah, it's a plumbing problem, really.
The mm-hmm. drain flies made it out, all of them, and their cousins.
Uh huh.
Do I get to sing my jingle? Because I didn't bring my guitar.
Absolutely. I was wondering why where your guitar is.
I didn't bring it today, but I'll do it for you.
All right, go ahead.
A cappella, without music, too. Okay.
Go ahead.
If you've got ants, if you've got mice, if you've got roaches, don't think twice. Call me. We do it like we live there. Everybody? Thank you. Okay. Right. We can start now.
Start on a what? Okay.
By the way, if they want Green Fest tickets, if they email me, I've got them on a PDF form. You can get a free pass as many as you want.
What's your email?
rick@aplus.com. APLUS.
Now, one of the things you were going to tell me about is ants. Is this the time of year when people traditionally call about ants?
Yes. Since February, probably, this year.
Wow.
They're coming out of the ground already.
So what do you tell folks if they've got ants in the house?
Well, if they've got ants, you got to find out why they're there. One thing what people do, they go out and they buy Raid or something and they spray ants inside.
Yeah, well, that's that spray first, ask questions later mentality that most Americans have. They don't really care what they're doing. They just want a product and they want to go, and they want to kill.
And what
kill?
They
kill?
Right.
Kill?
Well, what they're doing is they're killing off workers. And the queen who's in the ground or in the wall somewhere many, many thousands more to come out. And also they break, remember I mentioned about the pheromone, which is a sex hormone. Yeah. That's how ants move, by scent. And you break the scent, then they may make satellite nests, and you have more nests. So the best thing to do is we use Cedar Oil to keep them out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Charter 1 Pavilion, we spray that downtown.
Right, you handle, that's the other thing. Rick Moskowitz and A-Plus Pest Control handle Charter 1 Pavilion on Northerly Isle.
Right. Live Nation.
And this is your second or third year now?
This will be the third year.
That's great. So they must love what you do. And he does it with cedar oil, which is all natural. Yeah. And it keeps mosquitoes and other insects at bay.
Yes.
It's the scent just sort of drives them away.
It's actually a natural pheromone blocker.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know you're there. We have products, you know, the products that we make also under our Plus Natural Enzyme products, which will be at Green Fest next week.
And you're going to be at Green Fest. Okay, and you want to give away some Green Fest ticks. So how,
yes,
how do you want to do that?
Just email me at rick@aplus.com. A-P-L-U-S.
See, that's how simple it is. If you want Green Fest ticks, write to Rick.
I'll email them back to you.
Give me the address again.
rick@aplus.pest, spelled out. The company name has a dash. Don't put the dash in.
rick@aplus.
A-P-L-U-S.
Right.
A-plus pest.
A-pluspest.com. Write him. And get you better do it quick, though, because you want the Green Fest tickets to get to you before
Saturday,
because it's next Saturday
and
Sunday.
Anyone who's on Twitter who's won tickets from us, please email us your full name, contact information, phone number, so I can get them all in the mail to you tomorrow.
Yeah. So we gave tickets to
Zamboni and My Skinny Gardener on Twitter, and you've got two callers on hold right now. We've got Francesca and Ken.
Let's see if Nikki's still there. Hold on.
Nikki is still there.
Nikki, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
You know, I was just, you want to know if you can use fish oil tablets for fertilizer.
Yes.
So you don't want to take the tablets anymore. You want to throw them into your plant soil.
Yeah. Well, you know, the salmon in the trees.
Well,
you know, that sounds great.
Well, here's what I would advise. I'd advise you to get some Neptune's Harvest or get some of the other great fertilizers out there. Dr. Earth has fish fertilizer as well, and they use those sorts of things. I don't know for sure, but I would guess that the fish tablets are for humans and are probably not going to have the same nutrient value for your plants. I would think you know, and I can't be sure. I have to look it up, but I would say just go get a product because they're really good, those fish fertilizers, and they're really great for your plants.
Well, thanks for answering that.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling, Nikki. Would you like a couple of tickets for Green Fest?
You know, I wouldn't be able to make it, but thank you so much for offering.
All right. No problem. You have a great day now.
Thanks.
Rick Moskowitz from A-Plus Pest Control, and it's aplespest.com.
Right.
What's the danger of using, you're keeping ants at bay? You told me this. Somebody might buy your cedar oil and try to use it in their house.
Yeah, you'll have the same effect. Actually, you'll have the same effect as using the chemical because it's repellent. You don't want to make it repellent inside. You want to make it repellent outside.
Because if you do it and repellent inside, it's just going to chase them to a different room.
Yeah, we go around the building with the truck and go 3 feet up, 6 feet out. That's how we do Charter 1 also. We spray it. It's natural, so it doesn't hurt anything.
Uh-huh.
But it repels, and it kills.
And you handle not just insects, too. You
right.
handle all kinds of
right.
things like rodent control. And, and with rodents, as you told me, it's a little harder to be completely natural with products. And there's various options.
We have some products now that are natural.
Uh-huh.
And we're still finding out if they work or not.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're still experimenting.
Yes. I wanted to mention also the cedar oil does not hurt. You had the bee. I listened to the...
Yeah, about the bee conversation
Ken
earlier.
Ken Howard,
yeah.
And cedar oil does not hurt beneficial insects.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear that.
Like yellow jackets and are considered beneficial. And wasp bees, honey bees.
Great.
Ladybugs.
Yeah. All right, good. That's good to know because I'd rather chase them away than kill them.
It'll kill the mosquitoes and keep the ants out, but it doesn't hurt the beneficial things.
All right. Rick Moskowitz from A-Plus Pest. Hang on a second there, Rick. All plant life begins with the soil. Now, here's the problem. Due to neglect or worse, mismanagement with chemicals, many yards don't have healthy soil. That's where Dr. Earth comes in. I was just telling Nikki about that. Dr. Earth can return life to your soil with probiotics. If you heard Milo Seamus on the program a couple of weeks ago, that's where he started, with fish. He would get the fish and he would bring it into the yard and figure out ways to put the fish organics into his fertilizers. Probiotics consists of soil bacteria and mycorrhizal fungi that break down organic materials, make nutrients available to your plants, and help suppress pathogens. Find out for yourself. Dr. Earth is sold only at local independent garden centers, so when you stop in, ask for Dr. Earth products or go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
As I mentioned last hour, if you're thinking about putting in or renovating your lawn, you'd better get going. Once the hot weather hits, you're going to have to wait until fall. So now is the time to pick up that Eco Lawn Seed from Lake Street Landscape Supply, 1810 West Lake Street in Chicago. Don't want to do it yourself? Well, now you can have Eco Lawn installed professionally by Clean Air Lawn Care. Go to Clean Air Lawn Care Chicago. .com or call 847-421-6500. EcoLawn is the low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn that you've been waiting for. Go to ECO-LAWN.com, EcoLawn. Rick Moskowitz is here. You're going to be in at Greenfest.
Yep. Plus natural enzymes, though, the product.
And natural enzymes. So both A-plus pest control and natural enzymes will be there. You're going to have product samples for people at the Greenfest. You're in the garden section, which is cool.
Yes.
That's a good place for you.
I also want to mention the way to get rid of rodents is called integrated pest management. You seal them out before you do. And the same thing with insects. Why are they there? Use natural means without any chemicals, even natural.
Mm-hmm. Seal them out.
A lot of times.
And that's the thing that you do with your company. It's practical pest control solutions. Sometimes you just have to think it through. Mm-hmm. So go to Rick's website, apluspest.com, and natural enzymes is?
There's a link. Go to the links, and you'll see the first link is Plus Natural Enzymes.
All right, great. Next week, we are at Pesci's. We're back at Pesci's. So come on out, buy some plants. Give us, trouble. Because Joe Builder and Ron Cowgill will be there with Mighty House as well. They are waiting. They are in the wings. They are up next. I am Mike Novak, and I guess I will just see you next week.